roughly at 15. I'll look at you and raise my hand or whatever.
Sounds good.
Okay, so with that, we'll move on to our next presenter here, talking about FIPS 140-2 validation and NIST SP 873.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. So that presentation is FIPS 140-2 validation of NIST SP 800-73-4 conformance smart card, and talking about the challenge. And in that title alone, you have two acronyms. I'm sure most of you know what FIPS 140 is, otherwise you would not be here. But maybe you can show me by a raise of hand who knows what SP 800-73-4 is. Okay, so not too many, just a few. So to understand 800-73-4, we need to go back to the origin. And the origin is HSPD-12 that was also mentioned by Judy Spencer just in the previous presentation. That's a presidential directive that was signed by George W. Bush in 2004 following the September 11 attack. So that's a policy that calls for a common identification of standard for federal employees and contractors. And the objective is to have a common, secure, and reliable identification for government employees and contractors with visual and electronic verification, and something that is government-wide with a technical interoperability. So it won't be used only by one agency, but if it's issued by one agency, it could be recognized by another agency. The Department of Commerce, and more specifically the National Institute of Standard and Technology, was tasked to prepare the standard. The standard was came out a few months later, and that's FIPS 201. That's called Personal Identity Verification of Federal Employees and Contractors. And that's where the PIV acronym comes from, Personal Identity Verification. So FIPS 201 defines the identity vetting, enrollment, and issuance requirement for a common identity credential and the technical specification for an interoperable government employee and contractor ID card, the PIV card. It goes with a series of special publications that I will mention next. But what is important here also is that it's a public specification. It's freely available on the internet. It can be downloaded, and it can be used by other sectors. It's not because it was written for federal employees and contractors that it cannot be used by a corporation or other government outside of the US. And as a matter of fact, that standard is already used in the UK in the health environment, and as well as in a few other countries. So when we look at the special publication that goes with FIPS 201, there's a bunch, and you see the main one on that slide. The most important one are probably the first three. 800-73 specifies the interface and card architecture for storing and retrieving identity credential from a smart card. That's what Judy mentioned earlier on. You also have the 76 that specifies the data format of biometric information, because you have lots of, you could authenticate yourself through biometrics. And 78 defines the cryptographic algorithm that can be used or shall be used to perform authentication. So when we look at the current space for PIV related specification, that slide shows you, so you see it, HSPD-12 dated 804. And then FIPS 201 was updated last in August 2013 after two rounds of public comments that lasted quite a long time. And following that, a few of the special publications were also updated. Most important is the 73-4 that got updated in May 2015, together with 78-4 that update, you know, the cryptographic algorithm. And more recently, 85A was updated just last year, and that defines the test guidelines, so how to test compliance with the other standard. One that hasn't been updated is the 85B yet, but there's been a draft for public comment for about 2 years. I think it was published in 2014, and most likely NIST will issue an updated version in the coming month. So when you look at a PIF card, the requirement to get it FIPS 201 validated are twofold. First, the PIV application must be tested and must be validated to comply with 800-73, and that's the what is called the NPAVP certificate. But also the cryptographic module itself, so not just the PIV application, but all the module, must be validated for FIPS 140-2 standard conformance. So far, that's good. However, CMVP has issued an IG, the IG 118, so IG stands for Implementation Guidance, called PIV Reference. And in there, they state that the accompanying FIPS 140-2 validation certificate must reference the NPAVP certificate. That may seem like, you know, something not that big of a deal, but that tells you in which sequence you need to have your product validated. You cannot have it FIPS 140 validated until it is NPAVP validated. So that creates what I would call the first challenge, which is a timing challenge. Everybody who has been involved in a FIPS 140 already knows that it's a long and sometimes painful process. There are lots of steps to go through, and with that IG requirement, you cannot submit. So the step number two cannot start before you get the NPAVP validation certificate. And the FIPS 140 usually takes around 1 year, maybe it's 2 years. When it's a revalidation, it can be a bit shorter, but this is already a long process, but that's nothing compared to the NPAVP validation. If you look at actual time, you know, for NPAVP validation. In August 2013, as you've seen in a previous slide, so FIPS 201-2 was published by NIST, so it introduced new features for the next generation of PIV cards, like fingerprint and card comparison, like a virtual contact interface. And because there were multiple drafts, two public drafts for comment in the previous years, it was not a surprise. So manufacturers were ready, they were expecting the final version of FIPS 201, and they had already started to develop product to implement the draft specification. And they had also a draft specification of 800-73-4. About almost 2 years later, NIST published the official version of SP 800-73-4, also after 2 years of public comment. So that specifies more clearly the interface to support the new features defined by FIPS 201-2. And again, because there were some draft before, manufacturer had already developed the functionality, and what had to be done with the final version, with the official version, was just, I would say, minor fine-tuning that could be done, you know, in just a few weeks. So basically, manufacturers were ready to submit product for NPAVP validation back in May 2015. However, NPAVP was not ready to accept submission because in order to validate compliance, you cannot just provide a self-assertion from the vendor saying, yes, I comply to that specification. NIST had to develop a test specification That's what they did with the SP800-85A-4. That was not published before April 2016, so it took them, you know, another year almost to describe, you know, how to test compliance. And even at that time, that was not enough because the lab, so the NV lab, could not perform the testing because they were not given the tool, the software tool, to carry out the actual testing described in 85A. So at that time, the NPAVP was still not ready to accept a submission. This month, we hope that a fully functional version of the tool, and that tool is called Test Runner, will be released to the NV lab so they can carry the testing. We've asked multiple times to NIST, can we develop our own test tool and provide it to you with the log, but they didn't want that. They wanted that tool to be developed internally. And the first versions that were released were not working properly, were not testing correctly, and were returning wrong results. So we hope, now it seems that we're getting close to it, but still as of today we don't have a version that's running fully and can test what NIST wants the tool to test. But assuming we get it, you know, this month, if we're lucky, then we, and the lab, the NV labs, would be able to submit for NPAVP validation. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take for NPAVP to issue a certificate. Based on past experience, it was more in the region of a month or a month and a half. So that means maybe sometime in June, we will have that certificate, NPAVP certificate, and only then we will be able to go through the FIPS 140 validation. So you've seen that since the beginning, you know, we've lost about 2 years just as a manufacturer. We had a product waiting to be validated, and NIST was not in a position to accept submission for validation. But if you go back to FIPS 1-2, which is what we were seeking to and what the market was requesting, you know, products that are compliant to or validated for FIPS 2.1-2. It's already been 4 years before we can go to FIPS 140, and assuming that everything goes perfectly smooth with FIPS 140, you know, we could hope to have a certificate, you know, in September or October time frame, if everything goes right. But everybody knows that FIPS 140 is sometimes unpredictable, and there are some issues that may come up that may delay even further. So that's the first challenge, which is, I would say, a timing challenge, by the fact that not all the specifications were published at the same time, and that you had, you know, a year or 2 years between each stage, each specification, and the final tool. The second challenge is more of a technical challenge, and how to deal with what looks like a conflicting specification between different special publications issued by the same entity called NIST. And more specifically, I'm talking about a potential conflict between 73-4, so the part two published by NPAVP, and 800-56A revision 2 from CMVP. It hold on to when we had the lab that worked on the FIPS 140 validation, they ran into what appears to be a conflict between the two specifications. And at that time, that was back in 2014, we asked, you know, guidance, because from a manufacturer we can implement whatever, you know, the standard says, but when you have two standards that say something opposite, you're in an awkward position because you don't know what to implement, and especially you need to implement that before validation. So we made several attempts, and unfortunately, as of today, we still have no guidance from NIST as to which one shall prevail. I mean, we talk individually to people from NPAVP, and they told us, no, this is the NPAVP document that is right. And we talk to CMVP people, and they say, well, it is their document, so the 56A, that's right. So all that could hold up the validation and the commercial launch of new PAV product. So it's important as vendors, I think we need to find a way to get a mechanism to have answers from NIST when there are questions like that, because everything is put on hold. For people who want to better understand the exact nature of the conflict, you can look on that slide and look at the two documents. In 73-4 part 2, you have a table 14 that defines a CIFAR suite for PAV secure messaging, and there's one that provides a 192-bit channel strength. And in another section in the same document, they specify AES CMAC as the algorithm used for key confirmation. However, in SP 800-56A revision 2, they clearly state in section 5.9.3 that AES CMAC shall not be used for for key strength of 192 and above. It can be used only up to 128. So the 192-bit strength option that was defined in table 14 of the NPAVP specification is not approvable in combination with the use of key confirmation using AES CMAC. They recommend to use AES HMAC. Unfortunately, moving from CMAC to HMAC, yes, it is possible, but it's a change in the code, it's a change in the product. And right now we don't know which one to implement, and it's been already 4 years since FIPS 2.1 specification. So going back to the consequences of those two challenges, the main one is a delay in the compliance with the specification, and also a delay in compliance with SP 800-131A, because 131A defines a sunset of cryptographic algorithm. But because cards with the new that support the latest algorithms that are much more secure cannot be FIPS 140 validated yet, because they are not NPAVP validated, there are no more product, and agencies or customers still have to use products that have an older cryptographic algorithm, products that have been moved on the FIPS 140 legacy list, but they have no choice. They've been waiting and waiting, and no product came out of the certification because of that IG 118. Last week, NPAVP issued a statement saying they extend that deadline. It was extended first to June 2017, now it's extended to June 2018, and knowing that those cards, the PAV cards, are valid for 6 years, that means that you will have cards in the field using RNG that has been disallowed by NIST, by FIPS 140. You would have those cards in the field till June 2024. So, and this is my last slide. So, basically, you have both economic and security impact. The economic is more from a vendor or manufacturer standpoint, because we develop product, we've had them available, a few years ago, and we still cannot sell it to the market because we're waiting for the validation. But more important, probably, you also have the security impact for the industry, because by extending the authorized use of older generation products that do no longer comply with 800-131 from December 31st, 2015, which was the initial deadline for RNG module, till June 2024 for the deadline to use those products in the field, we significantly increase our vulnerability to cyber attack. So my question is that were the benefits that CMVP thought when publishing IG 11.8 are really worth such security risk? And what was the point to make that requirement that before going through FIPS 140, you need to have the product and PAVP validated? So that ends my presentation. If you have any questions. Okay, well, thank you very much.